the Lord for that. How about that? Take your Bible, if you will, the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter number 4. If you're fine the place, you're able to stand. We'll read there out of Matthew in chapter number 4 and about verse number 17. Matthew chapter number 4, verse 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the Word, and we do thank you for it and how good it is to be in the house of God. We thank you for the good talent that you've given us and many more thereover. We praise your blessings upon this congregation. Be with those that could not be here, Lord. Watch over them as they travel, and Lord, bring them back home safely. We'll say thank you for loving us, saving the lost, lifting up the downhearted, and setting the captives free. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to preach a little while, an old sermon on Jesus began to preach. Look at that whenever he said, from that time Jesus began to preach. Now, buddy, that's the perfect preacher right there. I can promise you he won't miss a note. He won't mistake one thing for another. Is that you're going to find out that he is the perfect preacher and he'll never miss a lick. In the lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out is that he started out. Isn't that something? That he's the first man that starts out, the God-man, preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And let me tell you right now, when you begin to look into this Bible passage, you begin to recognize this forerunner was the kind of person that wanted to know who has warned you to flee the wrath to come. John the Baptist in preaching repentance. Jesus Christ was a preacher of repentance. All the apostles were preachers of repentance. I want to say to you, make no mistake about it, is that now the forerunner, John the Baptist, has been locked up in prison. And as a result of that, he's there, and no doubt he's waiting for them to come and to take his life away from him. And notice, if you will, please, that in the lesson that we're looking at is that there's a message of Christ in verse 17 that we just read, and it's a message of repentance. I don't know about you, but I'm realizing today that when I was born a sinner. Bible said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Nobody's ever been born fit for heaven except the virgin birth and the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a sinless one, the only one that's ever been born of woman not a sinner. You and I that are born of woman are a few days and full of trouble. And we're born sinners without hope, without God. And as a result of that, you're going to find that the befitting message is this: repent, which means there needs to be a turning around that takes place in every life that's here. I don't know about you, but I can remember when the Lord showed me that I was lost and undone without God and that I needed to turn to Him, turn from sin to Him, from sin to the Savior. And as a result, it was kind of hard because let me tell you right now, I was a pretty nice young man. I don't know why in the world I got a whipping in nearly every day of my life, but it wasn't much to it, but I mean, you're a fine young man like I was. You don't need a whipping every day, I don't think. But I seemed to work one in. I think it was, I didn't get as many whenever the older girls finally moved on off the scene and got married. I think that a lot of that was me being framed. I got to say to you, though, that whenever at the age of 24 that I began to realize that old Dennis was just religious but lost and undone without God, I knew that I needed to repent toward God and by faith believe the Lord Jesus Christ had paid the sin debt for me, and not only for me, for the rest of the world. I got to say to you, the message of Christ has always been the message of truth. It's always been, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It's the message of turning that turns you around and causes you to be able to face God with repentance and faith, and to be able to miss hell and to make heaven by the grace of God. In the lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you, that's always been the message. Over there in the book of Joel, do not turn there, chapter 2 and about verse number 13, the message was, turn unto the Lord. Now, I want to tell you something, is that if you can't remember when you turned to the Lord, I hope you can turn this morning, because once you ever turn to the Lord, it'll make an impact and a change upon your life that'll be lasting for all eternity. The Bible said, if you'll turn unto Him in Isaiah 55, He said, and I will abundantly pardon. I begin to think about how good God's been. Over there in the book of Ezekiel 18, the Bible said that we're to turn from sin. over there again in Ezekiel 33, he said, we're to turn from sin, we're to turn and live. Now listen, if you want to die in your sins, don't ever do anything, but just you were born a sinner. And if you live a sinner and die a sinner, you'll spend eternity without hope and without God as a sinner, separated from God and the people of God, and you'll spend it in hell without hope and without God. I don't know about you, but I'm glad to know I'm saved by the grace of God. Jesus Christ always, he gathered it over in Mark chapter 1 by verse number 15. He said, repent and believe the gospel. I got to tell you right now, if you don't repent, you'll never believe the gospel. It'll be nothing but just a story to you. It'll be nothing but just somebody's, in your mind, it's going to be somebody's idle account. I got to tell you, it's not an idle account of man. It's a divine account from God. And make no mistake about it, is that when you get born into the family of God, it's a personal call to repent and believe the gospel. You know, the day I got repentance, I realized and know, the same way you did, that this thing is something I can't handle. This thing is something God's already took care of. This is something that God's letting me in on. This is something that God's given me the grace, and by grace through faith, plus nothing or minus nothing, in the Lord Jesus Christ, God granted me repentance and faith toward God and the Lord Jesus Christ. In this lesson that you're looking at, let me say to you, this church that over in Thessalonica that we've been preaching about, the Bible said they turned to God from idols. I'll tell you something, everybody here that's saved by the grace of God, you turn to God from something. I'm glad to know him in the free pardon of sin. Now, notice that, if you will, that when people get saved by the grace of God in our text, look back there again in chapter number 7, and look there at about verse number 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. Now, I will tell you, that's how you do it, is that whenever there's a change wrought in your heart and your life, here's what repentance is. It takes the direction you're going and causes you to be able to turn around and head the right direction. We're born headed the wrong direction. And make no mistake about it, whenever God grants us repentance and faith, he causes us to be able to turn around and head the right direction by the grace of God because of what he's done for us. I want to say to you, these are men that were called. And I want to say to you that when you look into there, Simon Peter and his brother Andrew, is that whenever God called them, you know what they did? Immediately, they left their nets to follow the Lord. It's amazing that in the day and hour that we're living in, that's the proper response that we're looking at. Look there again, verse number 20. And they straightway left their nets. That's how you do it. No ifs, no ands, no buts. And straightway, buddy, they left their nets and followed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look in verse number 21. And going from thence, he saw two other brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother in a ship. Zebedee, their father, mended their nets, and he called them. And notice, and immediately they left the ship and their father, and they followed him. Now, I got to tell you, we've got excuses, and there are a dime a dozen up and down the road, about why we can't follow Christ or why a person that won't come to Christ. But I want to tell you right now, the proper response is this: when God comes knocking, when God comes teaching, when God comes preaching, according to verse number 23, you're going to find out Jesus went all about the teaching the synagogues, preaching the gospel, healing all manner of sickness, all manner of disease among them. The fame of Christ went out abroad. Let me tell you, the proper response to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is an immediate response. Straightway, they begin to follow him. Let me tell you, why wouldn't you want to follow him? He's the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come to the Father except by him. Now, here's what that brings down to. Whoever you are, you ought to come to Christ. I don't care whatever you're doing, it's not more important than following the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to find out wherever you are, whoever you are, you ought to come to Christ. You ought to come now. You ought to come straightway. It ought to be an immediate response unto the Lord. You know, there were many times that whenever I was growing up, I'd get under conviction. And I knew, because I went to church, you know, like you, many of you, I grew up in church. And I went to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And I had a good time with all the other boys and girls. I'd listen to that preaching. I'd get under conviction. And sometimes and I'd just let it pass and so forth and so on. But I want to say to you that, if you will, that one day that God came knocking on my heart's door, and at the age of 24, God granted me repentance toward God in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I bowed my head and my heart and trusted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Now, I want to tell you something. I hadn't been the same since. And as a result of that, you're going to find out many of you may have a testimony that's just like that. But I want to tell you is that whenever you find out people get saved by the grace of God, they're pretty much the same wherever you go, whatever state you're in, whatever part of the world that you're in. You know that the Bible teaches us is that all nations ought to be able to hear the same gospel message. Do you know what all nations, you know the thing we have in common with this side of the world and the other side of the world? There's only one way to be saved. Never has been but one way. It's one way right now. It'll be one way tonight, tomorrow, next month, next year. If we live that long and the Lord tarries his coming, there never has been but one name under heaven given among men whereby you could be saved. And that's the name that's above every name. His name is the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, you know, in the day we are living in, and most of the time whenever you're watching on TV, is that you're going to find out is that the religious lost celebrity crowd, most of them are Catholics, Roman Catholics. Now, I'm going to tell you something, and I don't mean this to be ugly, but I do mean it, and it's going to sound ugly. There's no such thing that the Catholic Church is teaching that'll get you to heaven. They have nothing whatsoever. The Pope's a liar, he always has been. Anything that's contrary to the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ is spawned from hell. I don't care if Mark Wahlberg or any of those other guys want to be able to bow their head and tic-tac-toe and all that business there. They're going to bust hell wide open. They're following a whore according to Revelation chapter 17, 18, 19. Now pay close attention. In this Bible lesson, the Lord Jesus Christ, notice that, if you will, that he was calling men, and he called a man by the name of Simon Peter, if you will, had a brother as well. And notice in your Bible to the book of Luke, over there in the book of Luke, in chapter number, chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, I said Luke, but let's look in Mark chapter number 1. I think it's also in Luke chapter 4, and I'm going to check that while we're turning to it. In the book of Luke, in chapter number 4, you're going to find that God gives the same. Yeah, Luke chapter number 4, that's where I was looking or thinking. And then we'll check Mark chapter number 1. But Luke chapter number 4, verse 38. And the Bible said, he arose up, rose out of the synagogue, and he entered into Simon's house. Talking about Simon Peter. You know who the Roman Catholic claims that Simon Peter is? They claim he's the first pope. You know who invented the doctrine, damnation of doctrine of celibacy, to where the Pope can't marry? And them women, you know, they're all married to Jesus, they claim, which is a lie. And so they don't marry. They're celibate, they call him. Celibacy is the doctrine, false doctrine. Verse 38, he arose out of the synagogue, entered Simon's house, Simon's wife's mother. Simon Peter was married, was taken with a great fever. And they besought him for her. And he stood over her and he rebuked the fever, and it left her immediately, and she arose and ministered unto them. Now I'm going to tell you something. That right there refutes the doctrine that Romanism has invented. Let's look over in the book of Mark, chapter number 1. Mark chapter 1, let's look at that. About verse number 29. And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew, and with James and John. And Simon's wife's mother. Now you ought to underline that at least in your heart, if nowhere else. And Simon's wife's mother, look at that, lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell him of her, and he became and took her by the hand, and took and lifted her up, and immediately left her, the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. I just wanted to say to you that, if you will, they brought people with divers diseases. They cast out devils, the Lord Jesus did. And make no mistake about it, that you're going to find out that in chapter number 1 of the book of Mark, verse 35, and in the morning, rising up a great while before daylight, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there praying, talking about Jesus. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, all men seek for thee. And he said unto them, let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also. For therefore came I forth, and he preached in their synagogues throughout all of Galilee, and cast out devils. Now I want to say to you that, if you will, that those few passages that we notice makes God be true and every man a liar. That's contrary to the mind of God. In this lesson that you're looking at, Jesus was a praying man. He went out a lot of time before daylight and went to praying. Jesus Christ was a preaching man. He'd go out there in the city and this city and that city, and he was preaching. You know the message he was preaching? Repent! The kingdom of heaven is at hand. I gotta tell you something right now. This Bible said back over in Matthew in chapter number 14, you don't have to turn there, but as many as touched him, they became perfectly whole. If you're here this morning, you're not saved without God. If you're not, then you just need to touch from God, and you need to touch him by faith and be like that woman that had that issue all those years, and she finally made her way through the mob and was able to touch the hem of his garment. And immediately she was made whole. Remember that? Jesus, with a crowd that was thronging him, he stopped and turned around and said, who touched me? And they said, well, Lord, my word, look at all the people that's here. I mean, there's no telling who touched you. I mean, a lot of people have been touching. Yeah, but there's one that's touched me in faith. I perceive that virtue has gone out of me. And she thinking she could no longer be hid. Let me tell you something. If you ever get the touch of God, you won't want to hide about it no more. And boy, whenever she came to know him in the free pardon of sin, he made her clean. He made her whole from that very hour. I want to say to you, repentance and faith go together. Go together. One of the things that I'm amused about these celebrities in the world that we're living in, they talk out of one side of their mouth, drink liquor or alcohol out of the other side. They don't know something that you and I know from the Bible. And I'm going to say that they would not appreciate us being able to tell them. I was this morning, you know, and you couldn't tell that anywhere and everywhere. I said, you know someone that's a little racist, and those of you that wasn't in here, do you know someone that's a little racist? It's a midget that's in the KKK. And I had to reiterate that to get some people to be able to grab hold of that. Now, you couldn't tell that just anywhere. You know why? It's because too many people are racist that are accusing you of something. I'll tell you right now, I don't give a rip what color a man is, what color a gal is. I don't care if their eyes slant or not. I mean, I've got kin folks with slanted eyes. That doesn't mean that I'm a racist against Japanese and Chinese. And, you know, you ought not to be cussing these people. I mean, I don't care if they're black, red and yellow, black and white. They're all precious in his sight. I just got to say to you that, if you will, that don't let somebody else dictate who you are and what you think, what you believe. I'd witness to one of those people as quick as I would anybody else in this world. You know why? The gospel is for every creature. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, I'm going to tell you right now, is that I'm glad to say that without the Lord, there's no salvation. In the Lord, whosoever will may come. This lesson that we're looking at, repentance and faith, Jesus came on the scene and said, repent and believe the gospel. You know, if you don't have a change of heart, you don't repent. If you go living, you can walk down the aisle, get down to the altar, go back out, live in the same way you always lived, doing the same things you always did, be in and out, more out than you are in. I got to tell you right up front, make no mistake about it, when the Lord touches you and saves you and grants you repentance, you will believe the gospel and be converted. They didn't believe John the Baptist. They didn't believe many of those apostles that were listed there. But I want to tell you right now, worse than that, they did not believe the Lord and the Savior, Jesus Christ. And there's not a salvation that's different. You know, I've had people tell me and say, you know, I've often wondered, they said, if there's not other planets that have a race of people on there. Well, quit wondering that. And if that's been something you've been wondering, don't ever say it again out loud. I mean, I'm going to love you in spite of what you're doing, but there are going to be some people think that you're a lunatic. Those are people that absolutely don't believe the account that God's given in the Bible. You know the reason why that they're standing in the streets and marching to annihilate Israel, and that bunch of Muslims are screaming about freeing Palestine and about worshiping Allah and all of that business. You know why that bunch of Israelites are doing that? They just don't believe the Lord Jesus Christ. And they don't believe that the Jews are God's, the apple of God's eye. But I want to tell you something right now. If you want to get a, if you want to stand in line with them, go ahead on, but you'll bring the curse of God upon you, as that whole nation has and is and will. I wonder this morning, do you know the Lord? Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed as we get ready to depart. Now, Father, you know every need we have. We ask your blessings upon the reading of the word and the preaching this morning. There may be somebody that you've been knocking on their heart's door. May you knock on it until they open up and receive you in the free pardon of sin. We want to say thank you, Lord, for all you've done, for all these requests and prayer that we've already mentioned. We pray that you'd have your will and way, and Lord, may you watch over them and bring them back safely. Save the lost now, lift up the downhearted, and set the captives free. In Jesus' name we pray.